Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Last night, pretty late at night, about 11 o'clock, right after the news came out, we got some really breaking news on the Nancy Guthrie case. Again, we're talking about Nancy Guthrie. She was abducted from her home on February 1st. And this is the news. We're going to get after it right now.
Her family says they continue.
Sorry.
Federal investigators say all three kidnapping-related notes linked to the disappearance of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother are fake. That includes two messages that surfaced shortly after 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her Tucson, Arizona home in late January, as well as a more recent note from someone claiming to know the kidnappers' identities. That's according to an FBI official who spoke to Reuters on Tuesday. The official added that the first two notes came from the same sender, but investigators determined the author was not connected to Guthrie's disappearance. How the FBI drew that conclusion was unspecified. One of those notes reportedly demanded millions of dollars in cryptocurrency. In an effort to test its authenticity, the FBI deposited a small amount of crypto into an account specified in the message. The money was never claimed. The findings now raise fresh questions about whether Nancy Guthrie was abducted for ransom at all. The Pima County Sheriff's Department, which is leading the investigation, declined to comment on the notes, but says the case remains active. Authorities say DNA evidence and video footage collected during the investigation are still undergoing forensic analysis. Nancy Guthrie vanished on January 31st. DNA testing later confirmed that blood found on her front porch belonged to her. Savannah Guthrie has repeatedly appealed for information about her mother's fate and has offered a $1 million reward. Her family says they continue to hold on to hope while searching for answers, but acknowledges that she may already be gone.
All right, folks, this is the big breaking news from last night. It took me a while. I really had to think on it, had to review a lot of videos and a lot of information from early on in the case to try to get to the bottom of this and what it really means for the investigation. So let's get after that now. But to be clear, what Reuters is saying, and I want to make this specific, they say an FBI official gave them this information. Basically, this is source information from somebody they are saying is an FBI official. We'll talk more on that later. But I think it's really important to understand that if indeed these notes, the first two notes, because that's really what it is at issue, right? The 12 extortionist notes that went to TMZ that we've discussed a lot lately, those I think all of us have known were just a ploy to try to gain money and try to really just torture this family into trying to get a bit of money. So those 12 extortion notes that only went to TMZ, I think everyone in the community, most people in law enforcement recognize that was all a bunch of baloney, fakes, so-and-so. But the first two notes from the outset, and when I say from the outset, I mean from day two, three, and of course going forward, have been categorized as real, authentic. Now, I want to give you this. So I looked this up. How many news stations, mainstream media news stations, said that their FBI sources and or sources close to the investigation said these notes were authentic? I looked through the list, wrote them down. I'm going to try to do this from memory. CNN, News Nation, TMZ, CBS, the local station there, the local station in Tucson. Those are six stations. I think that's six, five, that specifically said, according to their sources and or inside information, however they termed it, that the notes were authentic. So I only preface this conversation with saying, for months we've been hearing that the notes are authentic from the media, and now Reuters is saying an FBI official says they aren't. So I always caution everybody with that, as you all know, about source information. Now, I want to play the clip of Savannah Guthrie specifically discussing these notes.
Military and worked in intelligence and is a fighter pilot and is brilliant. And he saw very clearly right away what this was.
Yeah.
And even on the phone, when I called him, he knew.
He knew.
And he said, I think she's been kidnapped for ransom. And I said,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, why? What? And then, I mean, it sounds so like, how dumb could I be? But I didn't want to believe. I just said, do you think because of me? And he said, I'm sorry, sweetie, but yeah, maybe.
Oh, shoot. I wanted to get to the one. Sorry. So that sets up that they thought it was for ransom. But then there's another video where she specifically talks about the notes and the belief that they are real. Two of the notes are real. Could have sworn I had that right here. Apologies. That I must have gotten rid of the wrong one out of the studio. I'm sorry. So what did that promulgate after that? That promulgated them believing, law enforcement believing, the FBI believing, it set up five different pleas to the kidnappers to release their mom, to give them information about their mom, and so on. I want to play, let me see. Thought this one would have come through by now. It's very interesting. It just takes a while for some of these to come through. Anyway, nevertheless, it's still not here. But I want to play the number two recording. This should definitely be on here. That is crazy. I don't know what happened to my recordings. I set this all up very early this morning. I was on top of it. Well, let me play the number three recording that was in response to one of the notes.
Message, and we understand. We beg you now to return our mother to us so that we can celebrate with her. This is the only way we will have peace. This is very valuable to us, and we will pay.
So that was response number three. I actually have to be honest, I had every response up here, and I don't know why they faded from my, I don't really understand. Oh, here we go. Here's one of the apologies. So this is her talking about her belief that the notes are real. One moment. Coming up.
He saw very clearly right away what this was.
Yeah.
And even on the phone, when I called him, he knew.
He knew.
And he said, I think she's been kidnapped.
Okay, we heard this part. I want to go on to the end.
Too much to bear. To think that I brought this to her bedside.
I believe everything Savannah is saying here. I know some people still think Savannah, the family, all these people are involved, but let's go on to the notes.
That it's because of me.
Because I want to get exactly what she said.
And I just say, I'm so sorry, Mommy. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to my sister and my brother and my kids and my nephew and Tommy.
So she says she's sorry to her sister. She's sorry to her brother-in-law. She's sorry to her brother-in-law, Tommy. She refers to him as Tommy, not Tommaso. And then she apologizes to her nephew. Okay?
Like, so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I see a lot of people in comments saying, sorry, you know, we just don't believe her. We think she's lying, that this is all a fake. I guess people think that she's just faking all of this because they murdered their mom. Let's just call it for what it is. If we're going to say they don't believe her, we don't believe her, it's because they think she's lying, that this is all set up to murder the mom, right? Okay. Here we go.
Miss me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
The ransom notes or ransom requests came. Did you believe those to be real?
There are a lot of different notes, I think, that came. And I think most of them, it's my understanding, are not real, and I didn't see them. But, you know, a person that would send a fake ransom note really has to look deeply at themselves.
Yeah.
To a family in pain. But I believe the two notes that we received, that we responded to, I tend to believe those are real.
Really?
So I wanted you guys to just see what she says, because like the telephone game, so she says, I tend to believe those notes are real. And I know everybody says they've seen it over and over again, but I think people forget what was actually said. And then, of course, Cameron makes the plea. The family joins together and makes the plea right after the first note and says, you know, they use the BAU. Again, the BAU would have stopped everything and gone on to communicate and to write up what she should say. Been involved with the BAU my entire career. I've talked to you about different cases that I've used them on. And I can tell you, they've been very spot on. Although it was interesting because I was talking to one of the folks and they said, oh my gosh, we miss about half the time. I thought, oh gosh, don't tell anybody that. But nevertheless, in my experience, they've been spot on, meaning the BAU that sits back at Quantico, they're not out in the field. It's not like what you see on TV. And they sit out, and that's what they do, is their goal is to understand these types of perpetrators so that they can help identify ways to communicate with them and individuals that might be responsible for crimes. That's where I've used them when I feel like I usually use them at the beginning of the case. If I feel like I don't have a pointer on the case right away, I will reach out to them and get who it might be. I'll give you one quick example just so you can understand a very specific real world case. Right after 9/11, there was somebody in the airport operations area of the airport, which means they had a special badge to even get in there. They can be on the tarmac, they're on planes, on cockpits. They were writing messages like, Osama bin Laden, down with America. I hate Americans. I hope America, you know, I hate America, down with America. And they're literally writing them on tugs, on cockpit windows, on areas where nobody should be able to get to that has that feeling toward the United States. So it was an urgent number one top case within the Dallas division, you can imagine, because we were so concerned that somebody like this might take action. And actually they did take action, but that's a story for another time. The point is on this is that I needed help with who this was going to be. And I took the exact phrasing, how they put everything up on those windows, because they use these special stamps that they had created so they wouldn't have their handwriting, I suppose. I had no fingerprints, and I sent it all to BAU. I think there were 23 messages or so, maybe more. Sent them all. It came back. White male. probably in his 40s or 50s, blue collar, likely military background or affiliated with the military. All these things, which was just the opposite of what I saw in those messages. And sure enough, they were right. That's just one example. Again, I've used them successfully 3 times. They're not something you always go to. Oftentimes, your evidence is leading you. But if you don't have things like fingerprints, if you don't have video, which I didn't have any of that, that's when you can go to use them. And I always do it right away in an investigation if I don't immediately know. I just wanted to give you that backstory. So BAU gets involved in this. That is not a small thing. You have to do an electronic communication. You have to have them sort of drop everything. You have to specifically, as the case agent, point out what you're trying to accomplish. We have this family. This family ransom notes have been received. So my point is, I very, very much believe that the Bureau believed these were real early. They also put money in the Bitcoin account. I know it was a small amount. But why do you put any amount if you think these notes are fake? For instance, I'm calling it the extortion 12. The extortive notes that were written to TMZ that only TMZ got, folks, they didn't put anything in that Bitcoin. Harvey would have told us all about it. He didn't tell us anything about it. But we knew about the other right when it happened because Harvey Levin with TMZ got on and said, hey, listen, they just put money in the account. So they put money in the account. It goes nowhere. It gets them nothing. Of course, I said you can't put hundreds in. You would have to put more than that. And they played it right because now they are saying, if this is accurate, that they, again, are not real. Now, I want to draw your attention to one of the main sources in this case. And again, this is nothing to do with the reporters, because the reporter's job, I've been over this, just like agents' jobs are to recruit good informants, informants that give us information, informants that have inside information. That's what you want. You want it as a reporter and as an investigator. I just want to call your attention to this person who I think has been one of the main sources from the beginning of this case to multiple people, including Brian, but multiple other people. I just want to remind you what he said.
And searching, looking for.
Wait a minute.
Because the family was pretty insistent that this was a walk away as well.
Okay. Remember this? Where this is one of, I believe, has been the main sources. He's been all over everywhere talking about this case. And I believe one of the main sources of information to multiple outlets. And remember when he said this, that the family thought it was a walk away. And so that's why, and we played this yesterday, that's why Pima County responded the way it did. Then right after this, he and Brian even calls him out on it. Really? I didn't remember that. And then Brian or Anjanette Levy has him on her show and he retracts it all. He said, sorry, I misunderstood what the person who knows, who's providing me the information said, and they said I was wrong. And so this is the telephone game. I will not get off of that because it always is. When you have sources, unless they are the one on the task force, those 12 folks or so, 24 on the task force, 12 that are actually working the case. That's my understanding. If you're not talking to one of the 12, you are not getting the inside information. And shame on if it's one of the 12. Shame on them. I hope they are found out. I hope whoever is leaking this information, again, to CNN, to News Nation, to CBS, to all these outlets initially saying the notes were true. Now we're hearing from Reuters that it's not true. I mean, they're putting themselves out on a limb. They're putting themselves out on a limb. There is no doubt about that. Because if it ends up being that one of the notes are true, they have put themselves out on the limb. But everybody seems to be putting themselves out on the limb. I think what's most important here is what does this mean to the investigation? I think let's look at it as if this is true. Sorry, I'm just going to, I know there's a little clicking. Some of you say you like by clicking. So we got to click at least once a show. What does this mean if indeed it's accurate? And these notes, the first two notes, right? That's really all we're talking about. One was a ransom demand, very specifically asking for money. And the other was kind of an apology note saying, I am so sorry she died. Okay. What does that mean to the investigation if what Reuters says right now is true?
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And recall this too. And I'm proud of the FBI because this is what they do. As information changes, we know the two IP addresses were the same in the first two notes. And then we also know that information was supposedly insider information that only they could know. For instance, the busted floodlight, the fact that her Apple Watch was not on the nightstand, but was on the floor. Okay. That was the insider information and why the Bureau believed them to be true. And believe me, the Bureau believed them to be true. They would not put this family through the hell they put them through, line them all up on a couch, write notes to them, tell them how they need to speak to this person to get through to them based on the fact that the first note was true, and then circle back and do a second and a third. There were five times that the family reached out. The first time, all three. The second time, just Cameron. The third time, all three again, and the fourth and fifth were just Savannah. The FBI would not put them through this. But this is what I think happened. As the investigation continued and as they made progress with the IP addresses, and they've always said those two IP addresses that went to the first two were the same. As that was developed, which we always said, this is going to be one of the main avenues to find them if it's them. That Bitcoin can ferret out with, it's kind of like the video, right? We didn't just get the video. It took SMEs, subject matter experts from Google to unravel what would be available in terms of video and photo footage. So that was unraveled by them. And we always said that Bitcoin could be another area where subject matter expert could unravel who actually opened the account. Because you have to provide all this information. It's like opening a bank account. And there are all these safety guards, supposedly, so you can't just open one without having it being backstopped. In other words, who you are, your identifiers, blah, blah, blah. So we always knew that that was a possibility. The other avenue we knew was IP addresses. Those senders, sooner or later, that hopefully the SMEs involved in this case, hopefully those individuals could be found. And I think that that's what happened. If this is true, we're going now with the premise that this is true, then that would be the premise. Does anybody, and you can let me know in chat, do you want me to play the Reuters again? Because again, this channel, I love, it's fine for me to paraphrase, but I know you all love to hear the exact words from the people that are saying it, right? You want to hear the exact words. But I believe that this is why Reuters is saying this. And we'll play the first, it's really short. It's like a minute. We're going to hear it one more time. I want to make sure I pull up the right one here. Here we go.
You still believe?
Nope. That is the fourth communication begging for help. This is so weird. Normally these pull right up for me. Let's see.
He saw.
It's like once I played it, they went away. Here it is. Sorry.
Federal investigators say all three kidnapping-related notes linked to the disappearance of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie's mother are fake. That includes two messages that surfaced shortly after 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her Tucson, Arizona home in late January, as well as a more recent note from someone claiming to know the kidnappers' identities. That's according to an FBI official who spoke to Reuters on Tuesday. The official added that the first...
I want to caution everyone, because Reuters is really making this like, you know, a director of the FBI came to them. There's no chance that is going to happen. This is an FBI source that they've sort of refashioned how they're going to turn to this person. And they are saying an FBI official. But this is an FBI source. This that clip I'm playing you is from Reuters. I know there's a lot of people talking about it on all the mainstream media, but I wanted to bring you to the source of the original information. And this is it. This is what you're hearing. Again, they're fashing it as an FBI official. This is they're saying it's an official, meaning they're officially with the FBI, but it's a source. It's a source.
First two notes came from the same center.
I also wanted to add about Reuters. Reuters is considered trustworthy. There's many stations are considered trustworthy. Remember me listing off CBS, News Nation, CNN. They are all also in the same category, by the way, if you look them up and study them and how trustworthy their news is, blah, blah, blah. So they all kind of fall underneath here. There's others that are considered more tabloidy that don't really necessarily fall in that same category, but these all fall in the same category. So remember, early on, we were told they thought they were true because I think they thought they were true. And now they have this new IP information and so on. And now they're realizing they aren't true.
But investigators determined the author was not connected to Guthrie's disappearance. How the FBI drew that conclusion was unspecified. One of those notes reportedly demanded millions of dollars in cryptocurrency. In an effort to test its authenticity, the FBI deposited a small amount of crypto into an account specified.
So again, we know this already, but they deposited the crypto into the account because they thought they were real. They had the family do five pleas. They got BAU involved. They did all of this because they thought they were real. Savannah Guthrie believed they were real, right? Okay.
In the message, the money was never claimed. The findings now raise fresh questions about whether Nancy Guthrie was abducted for ransom at all. The Pima County Sheriff's Department, which is leading the investigation, declined to comment on the notes.
Okay, I want to, let me see here. Let me put Nancy back up. How in the world can anyone believe the ransom notes are fake? If the FBI agent leaked this info, FBI would fire them for being a leak. It's illegal to leak confidential active investigation details. It's so true. I believe I already did a show on it. I can't remember whether I did a show or a tweet. Sometimes I get them interchanged because I post a lot of the same information on my exit as I talk about here and discuss. But let me be clear here. You can't do it without getting fired. Period. End of story. The Bureau, when you're an active agent, you are typically terrified of the media, because you cannot leak anything. Stas Strock and many others. I have a whole list of FBI agents who leaked information and lost their jobs. It is taken very seriously. And that's why you don't find FBI agents that will give information that are actively working on these cases. And that's why I am very sure that it's not really coming from the FBI agent. It's perhaps coming from somebody they talked to who provided it to somebody that they talked to. But that's not what Reuters is saying here. What Reuters is saying, and that's why I wanted to play it again, so there's no confusion. Reuters said an FBI official told Reuters. That's a quote. You just heard it here. You just heard it here. I put it on my Twitter last night, late, right when it came out. Now we're seeing, you know, of course, everybody's catching up going, oh my gosh. So what does this really mean? Well, it's kind of interesting, I think, because does it really matter? I mean, I really had to sleep on this and really think about this. Does this piece matter? Because I'll tell you what, that second ransom note, the one that was all, in my opinion, AI and flowery and, you know, perished, it did not comport with the first ransom note. And there was a lot of discussion about that, right? My belief was it was likely AI. How to write a sweet Nance ransom note and say you're sorry because you're worried about the death penalty, right? That's what it sounded like. It did not comport at all with what we heard about the first one, which was 6 million or 4 million. If you don't meet that deadline, 6 million. If you don't meet that deadline, we're killing you. Right, that's a lot different than we're so sorry she accidentally died. So at the end of the day, those two didn't comport, but they were from the same address. And so that's why I believed the FBI believed the first one, so they're going to believe the second one. So again, what does that mean to us? What does that mean to the case? Is this now the whole idea of a kidnap for ransom off the table? Of course it's not. To me, it's in a sense on the table stronger than ever because I could never make sense of that second note. That second note actually had me going, this is likely not a wrench because I can't imagine wrench sophisticates writing something like that. And that's what I said. I said, this has me going in a different direction. In other words, the more homegrown way of targeting Nancy Guthrie. So this makes me feel more than ever that, I mean, I truly believe again, and I'm gonna say why, Occam's razor. The facts we have, so now we're going to put the notes off the table. The facts we know are that Nancy Guthrie came home about 9:45 at night. She was dropped off by Tommaso Cioni. I actually found the clip where Nanos talks about that was from digital information. I finally found it today. Let's see if I still have it up here. Let's just bring him to the stage since he's everybody's favorite sheriff. I think it started at, well, we'll just start. We'll see.
This thing's going to slow down. We're pushing more to the investigative side of this. You know, we, through the night, learned a little bit more about some of the things we've submitted for DNA with the labs, but nothing really that would be help us identify a suspect.
So when he says that, I think he's talking about the blood, that DNA, but nothing that is going to help us identify the suspect. I think that's what he meant by the DNA.
We also moved, throughout today, we hope to have more technology coming in to play for us. You know, we've submitted a lot of things, from license plate readers to intersection cameras to downloads of cell phones and cell tower dumps and all of the things that you're probably well aware of that happens in these investigations. That's starting to trickle in. We have a few things coming in today, and we're going to just keep moving.
All right. He's going to keep moving. Here we go. This is the one.
They will be able to be identified.
Okay, wait a minute. This is really interesting to me. This one starts at 19, I remember. I'll put it at 18. Listen to this. I know some of you remember this, but I think it's important because of, in light of the ransom notes, if they're not real.
Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos telling us they're still working to identify that masked man at Nancy's home.
Do you think that this suspect could strike again, whoever did this?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Remember that? That's why I keep saying this should be such a huge priority, because somebody who is capable of walking in there and snatching an 84-year-old in her health condition and her likely dying is capable of doing it to someone else. Especially if he is a wrench attack mope.
I mean, criminal minds are criminal minds.
Well, he didn't disclose it. The sheriff says investigators do have a theory for a motive.
We believe we know why he did this, and we believe that it was targeted, but we're not 100% sure of that. And so
he always kind of backpedals just in case.
But it'd be silly to tell people, yeah, don't worry about it. You're not his target. No, you could be.
See, that's part of the reason I'm like, you know, a more sophisticated wrench. So it was funny. I saw some comments. So is the wrench attack off? The wrench attack off? Actually, the wrench attack is more on than it was before this information, because before I gave great pause and I was very open about that with that second note, because that wasn't what a wrench attack writer would write. So I started thinking homegrown was how they were targeted. Homegrown, somebody that knew her, somebody that was in her midst at one point or another. And then it got to the people who committed the crime. So for those, back to the Occam's razor, what we know for sure, she's dropped off because the digital evidence supported that, meaning Nancy's phone in concert with Tommaso's phone, in concert with the information from the garage door opener opening, when the garage opener closed, when Tommaso drove away, when her when her watch then is put down, it's still connected and then doesn't deconnect till 2:28 in the morning. We know she was there, everyone. We know she was there.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Now, I know I keep seeing it, and we talked a lot about it yesterday, and I'm going to do a lot more episodes on it, about how the family is involved. It's interesting because I did a poll, and there are still people who believe Savannah Guthrie is involved in this, right? There's still people that believe, of course, the strong sentiment, and I still think it's confirmation bias, and that is that Sione and Annie are involved. And the interesting part about that is there is literally not 1 ounce of evidence to support it. Not 1 ounce of evidence. Because you drop somebody off and you're the last person to see them does not mean you murdered your mother-in-law. Because you're the caregivers and you're the first to respond and you call 911, I think it's within 9 minutes or something like that when we looked at the timeline, it doesn't mean you murdered somebody. There is absolutely, at least for our view, not one ounce of information that they are involved. Not 1 ounce, but everyone keeps going with it. If you give me 1 ounce, I will look at it. I believe Savannah was at work today. As far as this new information, for me, it doesn't change anything because I still have her being dropped off, her going to bed, her being in her bedroom, and I still have porch guy on that porch at 1:47. That's when the Nest camera disconnects from the Wi-Fi, so it gets further enough away. I still have him at 2:12 on a video camera overlooked from the roof that sees a figure, which I believe to be porch guy. I still have the two doors open. Still have all of that. I still have her blood, expirated blood, cane left behind, purse left behind. This was not a burglary. You do not go in there and leave an Apple Watch. They take everything. I don't know if you watched my videos. I just posted one about this poor kid. He's just walking down the street and two thugs come up, steal his cell phone. He chases after them and they kill him dead. They want cell phones. They take everything, thuggeries like that. They didn't take anything, people. This is not a burglary. He went with a full backpack. If the letters are fake, and I think there's a good chance they are, not that the FBI always knew that, but the FBI believes it now because of the investigation they've been doing for 5 months. By the way, this begins month six for us. This is month six. So if on August 1st, I'd have to eat my words that this would be solved by then, at least part of it, the headway made by August 1st, just judging from cases and how long things take. This is no burglary. So let's backtrack it. What else is there besides a burglary? Mac and Daniel's point of view. Mac McCollum and Daniel Drunk Turkey. Their point of view is this is a wackadoodle nut job who had beef with either Savannah or Nancy and went in there and lone wolfed it and took her and killed her as retribution because of their hate and disdain. Okay? That's another possibility. And the ransom notes not being real supports that possibility, if you will. It lends itself to that possibility because once those notes came out, if they were indeed real, then that notion was gone, in my opinion. That idea was off the table. But now it's not off the table. It's still on the table because these notes are apparently fake. And again, I caution everybody. I'm telling you where I'm at on this, whether these notes are fake or not. I'm at about, I don't want to say exactly 50-50. I mean, Reuters has totally put their reputation on the line. I don't understand why an FBI person would come out. But nevertheless, I'm just going to, I need more time to savor it. I need more time to stew, more time to marinate, which is my favorite term. I'm going to marinate on it longer. But right now, this show is about what if the notes are true? What if the notes are true? And if the notes are true, I'm sorry, what if the information about the notes are true? So what if Reuters is right, an executive has said they're not true? That's what we're working with today, this premise. How does it affect the notion of the case? Again, I think it helps with the notion that it's a wackadoodle. I think it helps with the notion that it's a wrench attack. It helps with the notion that it even is a homegrown attack. In other words, that they got onto her and went in, and that those notes are irrelevant, but the action is very relevant. In other words, she was kidnapped, everybody. We saw it with our own eyes. Now, if we did not have the tape of bad guy, porch guy, in front of that camera, if we didn't have that, then we don't know what happened, right? We don't know what happened. But we have that. We have the blood on the porch. Let's just stick with what I call brick and mortar facts, not conjecture. Brick and mortar. Porch guy. Dressed up in that outfit. Let me get that. Let me get y'all some clicks. Porch guy went up on that stage or up on that porch. That is a fact. Now, we're going to talk about the staging piece of it, but no matter what, that's a fact that nobody can take away from this case. We also can't take away from this case that the camera was ripped off of that porch at 1:47. That's a fact that it got far enough away from the Wi-Fi that it disconnected. That's a fact. So I'm talking what I call brick and mortar facts. These are facts that happen. Now we can discuss a lot of issues as to why, but again, that's conjecture. I'm just telling you facts. 2:12, the human figure is seen on the camera. I think those are on those two high up cameras that the FBI later went and retrieved. Then we know two back doors are left open, right? We know that. Then we know that her pacemaker disconnected at 2:28. That's a fact. This is facts that are drawn from digital evidence evaluation, and it's down to the second. Those are facts. It's fact that we can see the blood on the porch. That's a fact. It's a fact that the lab has said that's Nancy Guthrie's blood. So that's what we have to work with. When you look at those facts, it's an abduction. It's a kidnapping that went wrong. That's what it is. That is still the Occam's razor of it all. That's still the Occam's razor. The fact that there were no ransom notes tells me that she died. And they're like, I am out of here. I'm out of here. I am going into complete seclusion and I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to get caught. If I try to go and get ransom now, they might catch me. Just like they're getting ready, it sounds like, to catch the note writers. Remember, TMZ came up and said that. Harvey Levin came up and said that the FBI notified them, you don't need to put in any money because we're getting close. They're getting close on identifying these note writers, right? So when you look at that, how much has really changed? We just have the front half of the kidnapping and we have no ransom because she likely died, unfortunately. So brick and mortar facts, stick to the brick and mortar facts. This is a brick and mortar fact. You can't erase this fact. You can't erase her blood. Remember, no blood now. Blood comes after. Blood comes after. Photo at 2:12. On, you know, somewhere taken from her camera, which I think is the up top camera. Not this camera couldn't have taken any after 1:47. It disconnected. Goes around the house. I think there's another person involved, although I find it very odd that nobody's talking. Probably going to take her out that back way. She's 150 pounds plus, everyone. She is not, I'm just saying, 150 pounds is a lot to carry. Yes, it's frail. 150 pounds is a lot to carry, everyone. I tell you, try this. As you know, I've done this before to prove this point. If you know somebody 150 pounds, I want you to have them be limp and pick them up and try to carry them. Get back to us on that. Because it's extremely difficult to do if you're one person. Two people can do it, obviously. One person, it's tough. And to take her to those drawers and then take her around. And yeah, sure, there is a fireman's carry. It does work. I'm just saying it's tough. Remember, he had that huge backpack on. It's tough to fireman carry somebody with that backpack. I've always thought he carried her like this. I don't know if you guys can see. Like this. Which also would be really tough on the biceps. But we don't see any drag marks from her feet. We don't really see her feet in there. Yes, I've seen there is, it looks like possibly two, possibly the outline of just two footprints, bigger footprints. But I think she was taken out. There's no way she walked out in the middle of what was going on. And to me, she had internal damage or she wouldn't be expirating blood. So back to things that make sense still. The kidnap makes sense because we have the brick and mortar. We have the facts here. We don't have the ransom notes because I think, sadly, she didn't make it. She didn't make it. I find it very interesting too, and I think this is just timing, that all these outlets, that what does that say? What does that say about all these outlets that reported all these notes were real? Their sources said they were real for the past 5 months. You know? So now we have a new source saying they aren't real. But I tend to believe this. I tend to believe this, that through investigation and through that IP address that connected both of those notes, they have discerned that they are, when I say not real, they're real, but that they did not come from the abductors. And so now, to me, stronger than ever, wrench attack is on the table, because if she died, somebody in charge of a wrench would never say, okay, now go do the ransom. I told you, when we knew a couple of days ago what was said about was in that note, I said, whoa, gosh, I have to really rethink this. I don't think that that makes any sense anymore. So wrench, kidnap, that's all still on the table. A mope wackadoodle is on the table. Now let's talk about what everybody else wants to really talk about, is the family. Is that still on the table? Well, remember, part of this staging that was talked about was that the notes were staged, right? Remember that? That the notes were staged. So if the notes are no longer part of the staging, that's one less point of being staged. And again, you're going to have to believe who would stage this, right? Who would stage this? The only people that would stage this is somebody who was capable of killing Nancy Guthrie and had access to her, right? That's why you all think, not you all, but many people think that it's Nancy and Savannah, or Nancy and Tommaso. And I'll say it again. Why? When they could smother her and nobody would ever ask any questions, she wouldn't put up much of a fight and it would be over. And then she would be found with a heart situation. They would never have probably done an autopsy. She was 84 years old. She had ailments. You could adulterate her medication. right? They had full access to her. Why would it make sense to murder her, somehow get her paced at 228, I guess, is the thought. 228, we're going to take her out the back, murder her, and then we're going to, or some, she's there at 228. So that's why this whole staging thing will never work. She was there connected at 228. That's why it will never work. That's why the staging theory to me is off the table, because I can't get past the brick and mortar. I can't get past the brick and mortar, what I'm seeing here before my own eyes. And if this is an actor, if this is a bandmate, why? Why would you go to this elaborate length? It is not Occam's razor. It doesn't fit the facts. It doesn't fit the brick and mortar facts. They have the digital evidence. They told us that. They did a timeline down to the second. I do agree, Jake the Great, that no one knows for sure what happened. But what we can do is look at brick and mortar facts. And I have to get really outside of Occam's razor to assess anything other than a kidnapping for ransom gone bad. I know some people say, oh, see, they walked her out the back and they have her somewhere. Why? Just ask yourself why. When you go through your analysis, what makes sense? Annie and Tommaso killed her and then set up this? Did they use a syringe to put all that blood? Or did they ask their bandmate to go in and take her and then they killed her? And they don't want it to lead back to them. So that's how it happened. They went in there, had their bandmate, which I keep saying, or person that they hired. If this was a hired gun, he would have already come forward. Occam's razor. In investigations, in medical, in everything, it's a very good way to analyze. And what that simply says is the simplest solution, the solution where the facts go to, are typically correct. When you have to start hypothesizing, okay, well, they took her, they were mad at her. I even saw where this loan came up again. There was no loan. There's no loan. There's no asking for money. There's just dinner and mahjong. He's a mope. Who asked him to do this, to take her? Orchestrated by a wrench type situation. Remember, wrench by proxy. Nobody is saying that they went in there to beat her up with a wrench. Just take her and use her as a pawn to exploit money from Savannah. Or B, and I think this is just as likely, that it's a homegrown situation. Homegrown. Someone that knew Nancy, somebody that understood where she lived, somebody that knows of Savannah, somebody that absolutely was well aware of her and chose her to target her. And then she passed away because she couldn't take it. How many people in great health could take this guy? Got his gun right in your face. Again, if any FBI agent has been spilling any of this, I mean, every time, how about you guys? Every time I open my social media, there's another source. It's just shocking. They're everywhere. They're either everywhere or they're the same one or the same couple. I don't know because they're everywhere. I've never seen anything like it in a case. There's always been some source information. But if you're an FBI agent and you gave information on this, you're losing your job. And I know there's some former FBI agents that are saying they got information from FBI agents. I mean, I tell you what, if and when, or if I ever have gotten information from FBI buddy, I never said anything. And I gave them that promise. And I kept those promises. Because A, I don't want to lose them as a friend. And that's the thing. These aren't sources. These are friends. If you are an FBI agent and speaking with another FBI agent, they're my friend. I am not going to bend them over by doing that. No chance. And I'm not going to hurt or disgrace the Bureau by leaking information on an ongoing case. It's funny because, listen, Cash is in charge. Cash can say whatever he wants. He's the man. He's in charge. He can say whatever he wants. And I'm actually quite grateful that Cash immediately, and thank you, Anita, so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Cash is the only reason we have these pictures, because he realized the importance of giving this information. Just look down there. When is Matt coming on? I just asked her, and I hope we can get together. I really do. I'm only going to be in town on and off, mostly off for 2 weeks, and then I'm gone for 2 weeks, and then I'll be back in August. But I want to get her on this week. I'm really hoping she'll be able to, that her, because I want to hear what she has to say. I think this information, that those notes aren't real, really supports her position. I don't think this video is at all fake. No, this came on day 10, Cash Patel working with Google. They were able to get it. I don't think this is fake at all. You know, everyone, I really appreciate each of you here. I love the inner workings of everything. I'm also going to have Dale Lundgren back on when I can reel him in, the 48 hours homicide detective. You know, everyone is entitled to their opinion. We don't have a lot of answers right now, but we do have brick and mortar. We do have some brick and mortar. Time she was dropped off, the time the pacemaker disconnected, these videos, the videos of a man seen out in the yard, two doors open. Stick to brick and mortar. All right, everyone, I appreciate you guys more than you could know. And to the best mods in the business, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for being here every single time. I appreciate you. Boomer, thank you. Thank you for becoming a member. By the way, on the 11th, we actually have something, or on the 1st, I'm sorry, of August, some FBI items I'm giving away. We're going to draw a name and we're going to send them. I thought it would be in celebration of having answers. It's not. I also really quickly just want to say we reached 50,000 today. And I just can't thank you enough. We really got this channel going back in about December. In other words, doing shows routinely. And I just, great mods, great crew in the back of me. And I just can't thank y'all enough. I mean, it just means the world to me. So thank you all, 50,000 of you. I appreciate you more than you could know. All right, everyone. And to those loyalists, I mean, Some of you are so loyal. I see you here every morning. Thank you so very much. Until next time, may justice be served.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.